I love the power of a good storm. I love the thunder and I love the lightning. Last night, I'll bet it was about midnight, and a lightning bolt hit 5 feet from our window. At least it felt that way. Just shook our house. Everyone was up, and we were like, oh my. And then we're sitting there, we're up listening, and our window was open, and we could hear movement outside. And then somebody went into our gate. I got up, ran down the hall, ran into the back. Who was going to see who this is, and you know, I got to stop this. And it was my dog. We had left Aslan outside in that storm. So you can pray for our dog. He's severely traumatized. But you know, in the book of Revelation, when you get pictures of heaven, there's this throne. And just like we sang earlier, there's a rainbow. And yet there's also lightning bolts and thunder. Isn't our God powerful? Strong. And so holy. So I love the power of the storm. I love what it says to us about the power of our Lord. Tonight we are going to look further into 2 Timothy. So if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I see the Arnolds out there. Dave and Mary, how are you? We've been playing phone tag all week. So missionaries, used to be at our church. They're now in Kansas City, International House of Prayer. So you be sure to stop by and say hello to them. And hopefully we can connect. So Arnolds are with us. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that we can meet. We thank you for the effort that's been made to weather the storm and get out here and look into your word. And Lord, how good it is to assemble with your people. And Lord, how good it is to sit at your feet with your people worshiping you. And oh, how good it is, Lord, to sit at your feet and hear from you. To look into your word. Lord, teach us, speak to us, give us a word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Look what Paul writes in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word! Exclamation point. Do you see that in your Bibles? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Folks, can there be any doubt from this passage as to what the priority should be for the pastor of a church? Is there any doubt? There is no doubt from this passage as to what should be the priority for the pastor of a church. And I would go further. I would say there is no doubt from this passage as to what should be the priority for a church, a local church, and I would even take it further. There should be no doubt from this passage as to what should be the priority of a Christian. What's the priority? What should we do? What does it say in verse 2? Preach the word. Exclamation point. Preach the word. Paul saying, Timothy, preach the word. Pastor, preach the word. Church, preach the word. Christian, preach the word. That's it. That's top priority. There's no question. I want you to notice how serious this all is. Remember that this is the last chapter of the last letter that Paul will write before he departs this life. These are his last words. And really, if you look at the last chapter, you see a lot of personal stuff that he says. What we just read is his last exhortation. The last exhortation that Paul would write before he departs this life. He knows he's about to be martyred. These are his last words, and he knows that these are his last words. Now, when you write your last words, and you know that they're your last words, you don't mince words. You don't waste any time. You get an exhortation. And what's his exhortation? Preach the word. Exclamation point. Notice the seriousness of the language. He says, I charge you. Preach the word. That's very serious language. That's like, that's the type of language that you hear in a court where somebody would stand up and say, I solemnly swear. I solemnly witness. This is something you would hear in a court of law, like the judge, the gavel comes down and he says, you are hereby charged by the state of Texas. You have that charge, Timothy, church, Christian, Paul. This would be like a general giving an order to his troops. Now, do you question orders? You get it? You see how serious? I mean, this isn't something that you can just sort of take lightly. This isn't, Paul isn't saying, you know, take it or leave it. Pick it. If you'd like to, it'd be okay. No, charge. Preach the word, exclamation point. And then notice he says, he gives this charge in the presence of God. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, God is my witness. The Lord Jesus Christ is my witness. I charge you in the presence of God to preach the word. And then he mentions the second coming. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. In other words, I give you this charge in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Timothy, when Christ comes back, you will be accountable as to whether or not you preach the word, and if you did, how faithful. Do you understand? Paul could not be giving a more stronger exhortation here. This is as strong as you can get. Preach the word. My brothers and sisters in Christ, there are a lot of good things that the church should be busy with. Amen? There are a lot of things that we should be doing. We should be feeding the poor. We should be helping people. Amen? No question about that, right? That's part of our mission, our goal, what God has called us to do. We should certainly, as the occasion calls for it, be involved in politics, vote, get involved in the community. We should certainly take time as a church to fellowship, meaningful time of fellowship, hanging out with one another. We should take time to pray, most certainly. We should take time to worship. Amen on all that? We should certainly do all that. But listen, if we become a church that does only that and doesn't preach the word, then we are terribly unbalanced. So all of those good things out there that we're supposed to do as a church, we should do, but not to the exclusion of preaching the gospel. That is something that we must hold on to. That is something that we are called to do. Preach the word. Make sure that that is a priority. For the pastor, for the local church, for the missionary, for the Christian. Preach the word, and you see how serious this charge is. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of going to El Salvador to minister in San Julian, and we did a pastor's conference. There were, about 75 to 100 local pastors, and we did a conference to them. And you know what my task was? 2 Timothy chapter 4. I got to share with this group of pastors 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I had them do something, and I'm not going to ask you to do it tonight, but I had them do something where I said, this is like, it's like Paul is giving us an order. Preach the word. Predique la palabra. Did I say that right in Spanish? Predique la palabra. And so I had these pastors stand up, and we began just shouting over and over. Predique la palabra. Predique la palabra. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And we all got a big kick out of that, and we sat down and we went on. And after the conference, you know, I'd be out walking around the market square and whatnot, and somebody would come up and run up to me and go, predique la palabra. And I say, predique la palabra. And that happened several times. That should always be what's on our heart. In the marketplace, in church. Preach the word. Paul's final exhortation. Now, tonight I want to spend most of our time right here on verse 2. I want you to see several things about that verse and about this exhortation to preach the word. I want you to notice first what we're to do with the word. The activity. What does it say in verse 2? Let's emphasize that first word. Preach the word. We are called to preach the word. We are to be preachers of the word. Preach is the Greek word caruso, which has a very well-known meaning in the ancient language. Here's what preach means. It means to publish something abroad. It literally means to announce publicly. It means to make sure that it's out in the open. To let as many people as possible know. That's what it means to preach. A herald. In Paul's day, there were various rulers of cities and whatnot, and every ruler had their herald. The herald, the messenger, that job was to take the messages from the ruler to the people in the public square and to give those announcements. See, in those days, they didn't have TV or radio or anything like that. So these heralds would leave the castle or whatever. They'd go right out into the marketplace. They'd blow a horn. Everybody would stop. All activity would stop. All business, all everything. Wait a minute. The king's herald is about to speak. And then when everybody had stopped and given their attention, the messenger loudly, clearly proclaimed that message. That's preach. That's what it means to be a preacher. That is the call for all of us. Make it known. Preach it. So understand, we're not called as Christians to only study the word, though we should. We're not called as Christians to only meditate on the word, though we should. We're not called as Christians to memorize the word, though we should. We're not called as Christians simply to read the word, though we should. We're not even called just as Christians only to live the word, which we should. We're called to preach the word. Make it known. The word is not something that you're supposed to only enjoy privately. It's something that you're supposed to distribute publicly. Amen? So you don't sit on it. You preach it. And as Christians, as pastors, as missionaries, as a local church, we should do everything in our power to make the word as well known to as many people as possible. Amen? Publish it abroad. Do whatever it takes. So when we have public services like this on Sunday morning, guess what we're going to do? Preach the word. Community outreaches, preach the word. I think we should use whatever means we have available to us to preach the word. TV, radio. Do you know one of the greatest things we've ever done as a church is do our summons radio program? Now it's preaching the word over the airstream. I love it. Tweet it, Twitter it, whatever that is. Tweet the word, Facebook the word, blog the word, email the word. Get the word out to as many people as possible. Publish books, publish tracts. Get the word into as many languages as possible. I was so excited. Monday night, my wife and I and our family, we got to have dinner over at the Jafaris, Joseph and Amanda. And you've heard Joseph's testimony. Maybe you'll hear it again, but he's from Iran. And he became a Christian. And he gave me a copy of one of his Bibles. And on one side you have English, and on the other side you have Farsi. It is amazing to think that God's word has been published abroad in the Farsi language, in any language, in every language. And we won't rest, we won't stop till we preach the word. We are called to be preachers of the word. That also means, by the way, that as a Christian, you should be willing to preach the word to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to your family members, to be able to dialogue about it, to share it. You. Not relying on other people to share, but you learning how to share. The word is to be preached, made public. By the way, just to encourage you in that, what does the gospel mean? What's the meaning of gospel? It's good news. You're sharing good news. You're sharing about how people can get to heaven, how people can be forgiven of their sins. Can you imagine a doctor who discovers the cure for cancer keeping that to himself? Can you imagine Edison, who invented the light bulb, keeping that all for himself? Everybody else is using candles, and he's got the light bulb in his little study. No, when you have good news to share, share it. And I think a lot of times we're so nervous. Look, you've got good news to share. Preach the word. Notice also what the content of our preaching should be. Notice we can't just preach whatever we feel like preaching. Our preaching is limited. Our preaching has boundaries to it. What's the boundary? Preach the word. You can't preach what you want to preach if you feel like preaching. There's limits to it. Now, the interpretation for us as Christians living in 2011 would be this. Preach the Bible. This is the word, amen? So, our preaching is limited. There's a bounds to it by the Bible. We preach this book. Our sermon should be biblical. When we share the word with people, it should come from the Bible. There's two ways to think about this, preaching the word. Certainly, we should not preach anything that's extra-biblical. We shouldn't preach anything that you can't find in the Bible. Why would you do that? You need to preach the word. You can't go around preaching what so-and-so's vision was if it doesn't line up with the word. And you got to even be careful not to preach from the latest Christian book that you can pick up in the Christian bookstore. Preach the word. Now, then there's the other way to think about it. When it says preach the word, it means preach the whole word. All of it. The whole counsel of God. That means preach the Old Testament and the New Testament. That means preach the parts that you like and the parts that you don't. That means preach the parts that you find palatable and preach the parts that you don't. Preach the parts that may even be offensive. Our preaching is constrained by the Scripture. We need to preach all of it. You know, one of the pictures for the Bible or images of the Bible is the Word of God is likened to our food. How many of you have heard that before? It's our food. It's the bread of life. I like to think of the Bible as there, you know, being different sorts of food on the plate. You know, physically what we eat, you know, we have the vegetables. We have meat and potatoes, bread, salad, the dairy, the dessert. And, you know, it's important that we eat everything, right? That we have a well-balanced. Remember when your parents said, you eat your peas, right? Now, if as parents we said, you know what? You can always have dessert. You get all the dessert you want. Would we have healthy kids? And would our kids like to have dessert all the time? Most certainly. But as parents, to be responsible, we got to make sure that they're getting a healthy diet. And you know what? There are parts of the Scripture that I have found are like meat and potatoes. Then there are other parts of the Scripture that are like dairy. Then there are other wonderful parts of the Scripture that are like dessert, ice cream. Then there are other parts of the Scripture that are like spinach, peas, vegetables. We need to give those passages just as much attention. Amen? We need a well-balanced diet. As a pastor, a lot of times I sort of see myself as a spiritual chef, preparing meals. And you know what? I can't always bring candy. Though I love to bring candy. I love dessert. I love the beautiful things in passage that, oh, they taste good going down. But you know what? Sometimes we have to bring the peas, the hard stuff. So preach the word, preach all of it. All of it. Now, I want to just sort of open my heart a little bit to you tonight as a pastor, as somebody who's been preaching the word or trying to for 14 years. I want to share something with you, and I want you to understand something, that there was a point in my ministry where I definitely made a decision about how I would preach the Bible, and I want you to know why. There are a lot of preachers out there that will use the pulpit to preach themselves. They love to get in the pulpit and they love to tell stories and give testimony and tell stories about maybe their kids and things like that. Now, you know that I'll do that from time to time, but I don't want to be known as somebody who preaches myself. I want to preach the Bible, preach the Word. And if I have stories, I want those stories to be subservient to the Word. I don't want it to be, hey, the Terry Gray Show. Then there are other preachers in some churches, and they want to get into the social activism and into the politics. And every time they get in a pulpit, it's about what social thing that they can tackle or some kind of a political thing. Now, again, I think there are times for that, but I don't want to be known as the political church. I don't want to be known as, you know, Mr. Pro-Republican pastor or pro-Democrat, whatever. There's time to speak up, but I primarily want to preach the word. Then there are some pastors, and I think a lot of them, they almost feel like they got to be entertainers, like they're supposed to entertain. And so they get in the pulpit and they tell jokes and they yuck it up. And there's all kinds of emotional stories and all of these kinds of things. You know what? I don't feel called to be an entertainer. My call is to preach the word. And then there are some pastors in some churches and they act more like a motivational speaker. They get up and they share things and they want to motivate people and, you know, they're the life coach and all this kind of stuff. And you know what, man, I don't want to be that either. The word of God is very motivational, but I've also found it to be extremely it gets in your face, doesn't it? And it can be uncomfortable. So I don't want to be known as the motivational speaker, the entertainer, the storyteller. I sincerely want to preach the Bible, and I think that's what we should do. Now, you should know that the whole time I've been pastoring a church, I've had people come and say, "Pastor, you need to preach more like this guy that I hear regularly. He's so positive." And every time I hear him, my heart just gets warm. And I just feel so good. Why can't you be more positive and more motivated? And then I'll hear somebody else come along and they'll say, "You know, preacher, why can't you be more political? Why can't you be more fill in the blank?" I even had one guy come up to me once and say, "You know, why don't you wear a suit and tie to church? You should do that. It would really up your clientele." I almost barfed when he heard him say that. Give me a break. I want you to know something tonight. I do believe that God has given me a gift to communicate. And I do understand the oratory tricks. And I have access to more stories than I know what to do with, that I could pull out. And I would know how to pull heartstrings. But a long time ago, I made a decision not to do that. But to just concentrate and stay as close as I possibly can to the Word of God. Illuminate it, illustrate it, but be very careful. I don't want to stand in front of the Bible. I want to stand behind it. We are bound by this book. A preacher preaches this book. By the way, same with you. As you're out and you're preaching, you're bound to this. Amen? Preach the word. Make it known publicly and keep to the word. That's your content. Now, I want you to notice something else that we read in verse 2. What does it tell us about being ready? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Now, what does that say? That means that we always must be ready to preach the word. And there's two ways to look at it. And the first would be in a very general meaning. Very obviously, as Christians, as preachers, we must always be ready to preach. We must always be ready to inject God's truth from the Bible into the conversation as we have opportunity. This word ready is a military term. It talks about, you know, soldiers always being ready. That should describe every one of us, ready to preach the word. I've known a few Navy SEALs before, and you know, Navy SEALs can be called to go on a moment's notice, right? And every Navy SEAL has a bag that's packed, and it's put away, and it's ready, so that when they get the call, they can just go grab the suitcase and go. And if their wife wakes up and notices them missing, she goes and she checks the bag. The bag's not there. She knows he was gone. And that's the idea. Ready. That means we need to be ready to preach the word in a moment's notice. We need to be when those opportunities come. Now, I do want to say that I don't think this verse is a license for laziness in preparing Bible studies. Now, I've heard many preachers say, "Hey man, I'm just ready in season and out of season. And I can preach any time. You give me a sermon," and then they get up and they wing it. No. Listen, if you have a call to teach the Bible formally, if you have a men's study that you're leading weekly, or a women's study, or any kind of a study with the youth, or if you're called on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, you better study and be prepared. You don't just get up and wing it. It isn't a license to do that. I love the story of the pastor who was bragging to his congregation one time. He lived right next door to the church, and he says, "Oh yeah, I come up with my sermon when I walk to the church, from next door to the church." And the congregation took a collection and moved him 5 miles away. You need to be ready. So it's not an excuse to just wing it. But what it is saying is, be ready when the opportunities come up. Be ready always to inject that truth. Be ready to share the truth in season and out of season. Peter tells us, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Always, always, always be ready. So if you're going to take this serious, then you need to be in the Word daily. Consistently seeking the Holy Spirit, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so that when the opportunities come up day by day, you can inject that truth in. Ready. In season and out of season. Now that's the general interpretation, but I think there's a more specific interpretation. We've heard that a lot. You need to be ready in season and out of season. What does that really mean? You ever thought about what does it really mean to be ready in season and out of season to preach the word? Well, I want you to think about it from the perspective of agriculture, crops. Right now is my favorite time of the year. You guys know I like football and I like baseball, and they're coming to the end of that. But another thing I really love about this time of year is that green chili is in season. Isn't it fun to go to the store and to be able to get those bags of chili and then you smell them roasting it? And that green chili, right now it's in season. It's popular. It's abundant. It's fruitful. And I get it, and I dream about the rellenos I'm going to eat. And the burritos, and it's in season. But in other times of the year, green chili isn't in season. It's not as popular. It's not as fruitful. It's not as in abundance. I want you to understand something tonight, and I think this is absolutely true, and I've experienced it. There are times when preaching the word seems easy. There are times when preaching the word seems extremely fruitful. Like, the response is awesome. It's popular. And you know what? It's in season. That's exciting. That is an exciting time to preach the word, when it's like that. But then there are other times, folks, when preaching the word is difficult. It's not popular. The response doesn't seem to be as dramatic. It's not visible. This is Paul encouraging Timothy. He's saying, you know what, Timothy? Preach the word whether it's popular or not. Preach the word whether it's in season or out of season. Preach the word whether or not you see visible things happening or not so many things happening. You understand? Preach the word no matter what you see. Because the truth is that whenever you preach the word, God is always at work. Amen? Whether you can see it or not, preaching the word is always to be preached because the word of God never returns void. Isaiah 55, the Lord says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Every single time you open the Bible and preach it, God is at work. And you know what? There are times when you see a whole lot going on, and it's exciting. There are times when you don't. And that can be discouraging. But you need to keep preaching the word because you know that God is always at work, even behind the scenes, maybe when you don't see it. And I will tell you, I have seen that cycle in my ministry as a pastor, There have been times at this church where it just feels like it's easy. Preach the word and all of these things, spectacular things are happening. People getting saved every Sunday. People raising their hands. People getting changed. I remember last year, it was on a Wednesday night, and we were having a communion service, and somebody brought two students from China who were here in town learning something from China. They came, they understood a little English, and at our little communion service on a Wednesday night, they gave their life to Jesus Christ. And I was dancing home. And there have been many times where you see that, and it's so exciting. But then there are other times where you preach the word, and you don't see a whole lot happening. And there have been times at our church where, you know, I ask for people to raise their hands, and nobody raises their hands. And it, Sunday after Sunday, it's been some times where thank you. AJ came in and set off the alarm. No, but there have been times where even to the point where people will come up to me and say, "Pastor Terry, I feel so sorry for you. I'm sorry that things, it doesn't seem like people are responding." And you know what? I want you to know that I never get discouraged by that because I know that the Lord is working behind the scenes. My responsibility is to throw out the net. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to catch the fish. And I have found that even when it seems like nothing is happening, God is at work. And I love it. I love to hear stories. When you don't think it's seasonable, when you don't think it's working, and yet God uses it. Several years ago, we decided that we wanted to try to have a radio rally in Las Cruces. Our summons program airs in Las Cruces. And so we were going to try to get listeners in Las Cruces at Dwayne Thompson's church, a Calvary there. And, you know, I communicated. We thought we promoted, but I found out later that Dwayne had never mentioned it once. It had never been promoted at all. And so we show up for the big radio rally, and it's just me and our worship band. And maybe there's 10 people there. And I'm thinking, you know, you get that, what's the deal? But you know what we did? We got up there, we worshiped, I preached. I asked if there would be anybody there that wanted to raise their hand to receive Christ. Nobody. We packed it up, we left. 4 months later, I learned that there was a young lady at that service who was a practicing witch and atheist. And at that service, took a step towards the living God. And you find that out later. See, you find that out later. God is always at work. We record our messages here. We have CDs. We stream these on the internet. And there have been many, many times where we give messages here, and maybe there's not a response here, but messages come later. Responses come later when we preach them on the radio. Did you realize I checked last that we have about 360 people out there in cyberspace that have subscribed to our podcast? So that means every message here can be heard by 360 people out there on their iPods. And God's using those things. God's using the streaming on the internet. When we do them on the radio, there's a big population here in El Paso. It's comforting to know that you can preach the word in season or out of season because you know that God is always going to use it. We have a youth leader, you know, a Mike Morse. And he tells me the day that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He had been to one of our Wednesday night services. It was when we were on Donovan Park. We probably had 15 people coming to the service at that time. But we had our Bible study. We did it. I'd raise your hand and, you know, something didn't happen. But Mikey told me that he took that CD home later. He heard it. And that night he bowed on his knees and received Christ, and that night he was delivered from substance abuse. God the Holy Spirit moved, and you see the change in his life and how now he's out ministering. I give you those examples because I want you to understand preaching the word is a must. And you know what? You go out and you do it, and maybe you get a little discouraged because you don't see things happening. Things are happening in your group, in your ministry. Preach it.
Notice the power that comes from the word. I want you to notice this in verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Convince and rebuke, those are strong words, they're negative words. You know what those mean? Those mean to convict people that they're wrong. To prove to somebody that they're dead wrong. And to get them to repent of their sin and turn. To exhort means to comfort, to come alongside, to instruct, to give courage. Paul is saying, Timothy, use the word to do that. And I want you to understand tonight that it is the word that does that. You know, to prove somebody that they're wrong, that's hard, isn't it? Convicting people. But if you use the word of God, it is the power of the word of God that does those things in people's hearts. That's why you should preach the word. And if you don't preach the word, you're shortchanging people. You're not letting them hear the very information that changes them. It is the word that convicts. Spurgeon said, the gospel is like a caged lion. It does not need to be defended. It just needs to be let out of its cage. I love that. And it's the same thing as the word. Okay. That's why we preach the word. You let the lion out. As you go through the Bible, it is the Bible that convicts. And it is the Bible by the power of Holy Spirit that changes people's lives and hearts. That's why you preach the word. You get in a lot of trouble when you and your own flesh try to convict or convince. You know, if I was going to
I'm going to prove to you that you're wrong.
Oh, really?
Right? But if you use the Word, if you're teaching the Word, and the Word does that work, it does it. You don't. That's why you preach the Word. And by the way, I love to preach the Word because I never have to take the criticism personally after the service. You know, I've had people come forward and say, Pastor, you really offended me. And I get to say, no, I didn't. The Bible offended you. You got a beef. You don't have a beef with me. You have a beef with God. You get the point? See why it's a must? Preach the Word. It's a serious charge. It's to be published abroad. We have that limit. We'd be ready in season and out of season. We let it do the work. A word of warning as we close. I want you to see tonight from this text that Paul does predict that preaching the Word will get more and more difficult. It will become less seasonable. The Bible teaches that as we approach the last days, this book will become more and more unpopular. What he says, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or myths. So understand, as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, many, many people will simply not endure sound doctrine. They will not want to come and hear Bible stories. They will not have that desire. They won't want it. This book will become disdained. People will say, oh, we're too sophisticated for this. Why spend time on this? And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I need to, as I read the scripture, the closer we get to the last days, this book will become more unpopular, not just with the world, but with the quote-unquote Christian community. Christians. No longer enduring sound doctrine, but instead wanting to hear teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. To have their own desires met. Having teachers that will tickle their ears. They have itching ears. They want to hear good stuff. They just want to be, you know, have that little tickle tender moment. I mentioned my dog Aslan. You know, if I tickle his ears, he'll stay with me all day. And I had to tickle his ears a lot last night after he got inside. But, I mean, he just loves it, you know? And you know what? There's going to be people in the last days that simply just want to have their ears tickled. And you know what? In the last days, there will be a lot of teachers who will be willing to do that. And it says that a lot of people will be heaping up for themselves teachers like that. So I just mentioned that to you because I want you to know it's going to get harder. It's going to get more difficult to preach the Word the closer we get to the last days. But does that mean we stop? No. In season, out of season. Preaching the Word. Amen? Why don't you bow your head with me and close your eyes? Father, I'd like to thank you tonight for your Word. Thank you, Lord, that you have made your revelation known. Thank you that we have your truth. Lord, I thank you tonight that as your people living here in America, that we have copies of your word in English. Lord, you have so abundantly blessed your people in this country. Lord, I pray that all of us would stick to the priority. Lord, that we would not turn and look to the left and turn and look to the right. That we would be blown by every wind of doctrine that flows through. Lord, that we would be content and happy and busy with your word, getting to know it better. And then, Lord, not to just know it, but to preach it. Father, I would pray that even tonight, Lord, you would put on the hearts of your people here tonight that person, that maybe that person at work or that person in the family, person in the neighborhood, family, somebody, Lord, that you would put on all of our hearts that person that needs to hear the word, even this week. And that we would go forth and share. Willing, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We want to live our lives in a way that honors you and makes you known. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.